All right, so welcome back. Thank you to my teachers, my coaches, my students, my mentors. I really just wanted to be sure we do something to encourage you guys throughout the week, as well as just give you some inspiration as you face the things that you have to face within that week, right? To my coaches and to my mentors and to my fellow pastors that are shepherding their flocks, man, it takes a lot of endurance to do what we do, right? But in the end, we do it not for our own benefit, but for the benefit of others. And so as I'm continuing to kind of do these devotionals, I wanted to kind of mix it up this week and just talk about, hey, what are some things that you are building? And hey, if you're building it, are you allowing the Lord to take the lead? Because one of the ideas that I just want to throw up to you guys is, hey, we must build and lead in a way that points to God's kingdom more than it points to us or our own kingdom, right? And sometimes that's hard, because if you're around for a bit, one of the advice that my lead pastor gave me a little while ago is, he was like, hey, the biggest realms to moving forward in success is, one, humility, and that's a part of that key. But the other is, it's like longevity. But if you do something long enough for a while, it becomes secondhand nature, and then there's a bar that people expect you to meet. And sometimes you can get really stuck really easy in thinking that, hey, I am the person who set the bar. It's about what I bring to the table. Without me, the job can't get done. But in doing that, we missed that piece that he kind of told me about, which is humility. And so while I was thinking about this, I was reading in the book of Nehemiah, and it's talking about how, hey, Nehemiah is rebuilding the temple of God, and the people in which had inhabited the space around the temple when the Israelites get pulled out of Israel and Jerusalem and brought into Babylon, and they get sent back to be able to rebuild this temple, they're upset about what's happening, and they're upset about the fact that, yo, these folks whom had lost this land, vacated this land, they're now about to rebuild. And so Nehemiah is building something, and he already has enemies before he can even close the door to the gate that he's trying to rebuild. If they wanted to, they can walk square through the front entrance. And so as I was reading this in Nehemiah chapter 4 in verses 7, it says, but when Sanballat and Tobiah, the Arabs and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that they were repairing the walls of Jerusalem, they were going forward, and that the breaches were beginning to be closed. This is how they could come in and out of Jerusalem. They were angry, and they all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to cause confusion in it. And when he prayed to our God and set the guard as a protection against them in Judea, and this is what was going around, the word of the streets in Judea was, the strength of those who bear the burdens is falling, and there is too much rubble. By ourselves, we will not be able to rebuild the wall. And they will not know or see till we come along them and kill them and stop the work. But the part that really spoke to me, and this is kind of where I want to like land some of this for us, is, and I looked and arose and said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, and your wives, and your homes. And there's a part in this text a little bit later where it's literally they're trying to get him to come down from this wall to distract him. Now they're ready to fight him, right? And he's continuing to build for something outside of himself. And when they're trying to get him to even come down from the wall, and this being Nehemiah, he says, why would I come down? Because I have such a task to build here. And what it made me think about is, sometimes in building, we can lose track of whom and what we're building for. Right? When we're building things that the Lord's kind of called us to do, we have to understand, hey, there was a reason outside of ourselves that he called us to build it. And if we lose track of that, ironically, most of the time, what we end off with isn't really what God ordained for us to build. And so as I was thinking about this, some of the things that kind of stuck out to me, and some of the things that people would argue and say is, hey, so how do I know what I'm called to build? And then the second question sometimes is real simple. Hey, who's driving me to build it well? Who's driving that hammer? And so it made me think and go back to Jesus. In John chapter 16, Jesus is literally saying, hey, man, he's talking to his disciples, and he's like, yo, I need you to understand that I'm about to leave you guys, right? And that you're going to incur issues and struggles while you're trying to take what I've given you, that being the gospel, and you're trying to share it out with other people. Sometimes our coaches or our students, you'll run into issues where they're trying to build their reputation on the court, on the field, based on their skill set, but they don't really understand what's driving the hammer. So every time they run into issues, they're troubled, right? They're going through, they're discouraged. But then if we really think about it, there's always a few moments in which you as a coach or a mentor have a moment to kind of drop a seed and simply say, hey man, so did you think you're gonna win every game? Or did you think you were gonna score every touchdown or every goal? And it's like, hey man, if you always won, would you be able to really say you learned something? For us, as coaches, mentors, pastors, leaders, we have to understand what we're being called to build must outlive us. And the best way to see that is to see when someone that's coming after us that we've invested in is really getting it and decides they want to also come alongside us and build. And so when Jesus is talking to his disciples, he's like, yo, you're gonna incur issues. You're gonna miss the goal. You're gonna miss the touchdown. And he's like, but don't be discouraged, because when he gets to the last verse of verse 33 of chapter 16, he says, yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. And then he says, I have said these things to you, that you're gonna incur troubles, you're gonna incur trials, right? I've said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulations, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. The grace that we have when we build something that outlives us is really simple. We're building it based on the direction of God. When your students understand that they are building a reputation on the field, on the court, that outlives them, but it's about the team. When the team understands that outlives the school, it's about their character. When they understand as a community that we want to build a community that nurtures the next generation of believers for one reason, because we want this community to outlive us, guess what? It actually gets some roots, and it actually becomes a driving force to the things of God, right? And so landing this plane, though we have low moments in life, while we're building and we're tired, while we're building and we want to give up, while we're building and we're unmotivated, it's raining today, and I almost didn't even want to record this video, right? When we have those low moments, the encouragement that we have is that this life that we continue to build, we build it in the hope that when Christ comes back, he can say, it is finished and our work is through. I just want to encourage you guys, man, build outside of yourself so that we can all, as believers, look to the Christ that comes and says, man, it is well and it is finished. I love you guys. I'll talk to you soon.